Lord God, we thank you for this word once again. Oh Lord, I come in this time, this moment in your hands. We ask you to bless this people in the room as we acknowledge, Lord, that your word alone can make us live. As we acknowledge, Lord, that your word alone can give us breath and your word alone can make us be edified. We surrender everything in your mighty hands. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation be acceptable to your sight. In Jesus' almighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Once again, I thank all of you, brothers and sisters here, especially the Full Gospel Assembly. Recently, we have gone through some sudden floods, and God has restored us, and God's been lifting us up. And I thank and praise God for all the brothers and sisters that's gone in spiritual warfare and been praying for us. Especially, I would like to thank the saints that are here into the room from United States, and also thank them, especially the saints, especially that are there in the UK sitting in the room there, and also the saints that have come into the room. Praise be to God. It's good to be in the house of God. The Bible says, shout for joy unto the Lord. So as we are in his presence, we will be benefited sitting in the house of God, and we'll be benefited sitting in the presence of God. And if you believe it, you're going to receive it. And I thank especially the sisters, Sister Daphne and Sister Caroline, that's been a source of encouragement to me on the basis of struggle that was recently going on in India. And I also thank the Full Gospel Assembly and all the saints there that have been a great blessing to do a kind of a relief for the floods right here. And I'm so thankful to God for using brothers and sisters. And it's a great privilege for all your offer and for all your prayers. And let's get into the word. Amen. Glory be to God. Saints of God, the message today is titled A Breaking Before a Blessing. There must be a breaking before we can be a blessing. Amen. The first point I want to share with you is from the book of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 17 to 21. The book of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 17 to 21. I'm reading it. They say unto him, We have here 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, Bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples, and from the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragment remained 12 baskets full, and the eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. Praise the Lord for the reality of the word again. Amen. You know, no one associates or no one gives an example or no one compares the term breaking into production or into beneficial. In the word of God, or in a general term, the breaking carries a threat with it. The term breaking carries a threat because we see it implies damage beyond retain or impact in popular imagination. However, in the word of God, it is a necessary tool which God uses it. And if he wishes to use you and me today, you and me needs to be sensitive today to his word. Hallelujah. Something that the Lord has laid in my heart today, I have a very deep word that God has given me, and I know that many don't like when we speak and or when we start speaking about the word breaking, because many don't like to be broken by God. So in this story that we read from Matthew chapter 14 and verse 17 to 21, you see there's a little boy that is coming before the apostles with 2 fishes and 5 loaves of bread, and it was his lunch. And this boy came from far from home, and he had that for lunch. But this boy here had a willing heart and a willing mind to share it with the apostles. Here is the first lesson today. We need a willing heart and a willing mind. Praise God. This is what God is looking for first and the foremost. You see, this little boy, nobody told him that he has to take his lunch and hand it over to apostles. He did it voluntarily, and it is written, this is the first step for the kingdom of God. Everything that we do must be from the willing mind, hallelujah, and a willing heart. And the next thing that we see is so blessing. When Jesus saw this little boy was having a willing mind and a willing heart, the divine commandment came from God, from Jesus. He said, bring them hither to me. And he blessed them. Oh, what a blessed command. Jesus wants to use it. Amen. So the next step is that the crowd was told to sit in such a way that they will be able to receive. The crowd was made to sit in such a way that they will be able to receive what God was going to give them. So Jesus commanded them to sit on the grass with an expectation. They were to look at Jesus with an expectation. Brothers and sisters, we must wait on the Lord to inherit and receive the blessings from him. Jesus told them to sit on the ground and grass. They were looking at him and they were expecting a blessing from him. But my subject today is about breaking. Look at the next step. Jesus took the bread and the fish into his hands and looked up to heaven and he blessed them and before he broke it. In the other words, you can call it, before you and I could be a blessing, or before a blessing could take place, you and I must be in the Master's hand. And then you must break. Then he must break us. Amen. So you and I must be in the Master's hand so that Master will break us, the Master will mold us, and the Master will break away that we will be given to the multitudes, so that we will be used to be fed to the multitudes. Hallelujah. This is what is happening right here. Only then you will fill and satisfy the multitude with whatever talent or whatever gift or ministry that Jesus has given you. Praise God. In other words, everyone who is used of God must endure some breaking so that the inner man will be released with the fragrance of the Holy Spirit of Jesus which is inside. Do not be afraid or do not fear to be broken because you are in your Master's hands. Praise God. Hallelujah. In the kingdom of God, breaking is synonymous and it is similar to a blessing. Praise God. If you want to feed the 5,000, including men, women, and children, you need to be really broken. We must allow the Master to bless us and also break us into many pieces. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I think that it is very clear what I'm talking about. I think the message is bringing out a shape right now. Glory be to God. You see, the bread was of no use to anybody, and until and unless it was only 5 loaves, it was of no use. Until unless it came to the hands of the Master. Dear brother and sister, today you and I are of no use to the kingdom of God, and unless and until you and I are in the Master's hand. You and I are of no use to the kingdom of God until and unless you and I place ourselves into the Master's hand, to the hand of Jesus. Praise God. And then he took them up to heaven and he blesses us, then he will break us. And I'm speaking today something spiritual. Nobody likes to be broken by God. Nobody likes to feel the pain of the finger of Jesus moving upon their lives. But Jesus knows what you're lacking and he knows where you need to be shaped. Amen. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. He knows where you have a shortcoming, where you have a weakness. Amen. Do not be afraid because you are still in your Master's hand. And when you are broken, okay, or when the bread is being broken into small pieces, it was being broken because it is going to feed 5,000 people. Glory be to God. Are you ready to let God use you and break you so that he can feed multitude? Praise God. We have to be broken because then only we can be a blessing. Do not be afraid to be broken by Jesus, because there will be a blessing which is coming the next point. Glory to God. Today, so many might be telling, I'm still speaking about breaking. You know, I'm still in the same topic. I'm not just switched out still. Glory be to God. So I need to be personally broken. God is working in my life. Every day is breaking me and breaking me and breaking me to make me better. I need breaking. You need breaking. We all need to be broken. Glory be to God. More and more. But we will not grow weary, or we will not be afraid, because we are in the Master's hand. More he breaks us, the more people we are going to feed. Amen. Turn together with me. We need to cry. We need to release ourselves into the hands of Jesus. We need to be broken because it is the only way that he can use us today. The next point today, brothers and sisters, it is the cross. We all know about the cross. It is an ultimate place of breaking. Let me read to you from the Gospel of John 12 and verse 24. The book of John. The Gospel of John 12 and 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of the wheat falls on the ground and die, it abideth alone. If it die, it will bring forth much fruit. Again, I read it. To be clear, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of the wheat falleth into ground and die, it will not, it will abide alone. But if it die, it will bring forth much fruit. Glory be to God. Brother and sister, we understand the mystery of the cross. We must, in order to understand the mystery of the cross, first we need to comprehend the mystery of the corn, of the wheat. It is a fact today, unless the outer shell of the corn seed split open, the life within it will not be opened. Unless and until the corn shell, well, I was talking from John chapter 12, the book of John chapter 12 and verse 24. Yes. Unless the outer shell of the corn seed split open, the life within the seed cannot be issued forth. How does this happen? The answer is in nature. How can the corn shell open itself and start growing? Did you ever think when you just throw a seed on the ground, it automatically comes, sprouts out, or automatically the seed or the outer shell breaks open, it automatically the seed starts coming? Did you ever think? Well, we need to know how it happens. It happens because the nature does that. The nature works on the seed. Hallelujah. The nature itself has a solution to see. When a seed falls to the ground, the outer shell is hard sometimes, but the nature itself is being again at work. Amen. Upon the seed. The outer shell, what happens to the outer shell? The nature hammers and bombards so that the forces of humidity and the forces of temperature and the forces and all the fluctuations and the temperature increase in the seed, and suddenly it breaks open. When the seed breaks open, what happens is, and you know, the nature starts hitting it mercilessly. Sometimes the seed becomes very hard. Today you and I are very hard-hearted in order to be opened, in order to be broken. And you and I have to be broken. And if you and I have to be broken, sometimes we need to be hammered. When we are hammered, we will be broken open. Glory be to God. So we need to be succumb. He mercilessly beats the outer surface of the cell, of the shell with a hammer, so that it will succumb and it splits open, so that the life within the seed can burst out. Today you and I are baptized with the Spirit of God. Today you and I are baptized with the Spirit of God, and we all stand still idle, and we say and we think, oh man, nothing is going to happen in my life, this is the end of life. Yeah, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I've been baptized into the name of Jesus Christ, and I stay just as I am. Well, that is not the end of that's not the end of it. I've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's not the end of it. You and I need to be broken. And if you are remaining as a seed, you are of no use. That's what the Bible says. Saint of God, you need to feel. Amen. You need to feel. I need to feel the Lord's forces of humidity and raising in temperature, and also the breaking of the outer man. You should not resist, however painful it may be. You should see that Jesus wants you and Jesus wants me, which is to bring out the Holy Spirit to come forth and bless many people. Unless and until the Holy Spirit comes forth and takes us deeper with Christ, we will not be able to be a blessing. We will not be able to channelize God's word into the hearts, into the lives, into the people's minds. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So God wants us to be opened. God wants us, our outer man, to be broken. We should not resist, because it's going to be painful, because Jesus wants his own life, which is in the form of a Holy Spirit, to come forth and bless us. Glory be to God. But sometimes there's a struggle between the inner man and the outer man. Sometimes the outer man is hard, like a seed that falls on the ground. The forces of nature have to hammer it and bombard it till it splits out into two, so that the life of the Holy Ghost that is inside can germinate. The life of the Holy Ghost that is inside can start germinating. You see, as long as the outer shell resists these forces, then the seed will remain alone, that the seed will remain to be small. It will never grow into a big tree, into a mighty tree, but it will, when it succumbs the pressure of the Lord's forces of humidity and raise in temperature, which is the Lord's will to put upon us. When he began to shape us, when he begins to mold us, when his life that is inside will burst out, and this seed will begin to germinate. Amen. When this seed will become into a mighty tree, producing thousands and thousands of fruits and blessing many, and it gives shade. It gives shade to the weary traveler. It blesses the birds of the air. It blesses the birds to nest and also to take refuge in the tree. What a great blessing that is. But if that is little shell refuses, if that little shell says, I don't want to be split open to let the life which is inside to come out of them, what happens? the seed will remain small. It will never germinate. As Jesus himself said in John chapter 12 and verse 24, it will die. It will be a lonk. Amen. It will die. It will be of no use. It will be a lonk. It will be of no use to anybody. Brother and sister, we need to be sensitive to the touch of the Master's hand. You need to be sensitive to the touch of the hand of Jesus Christ in your life. Are you feeling recently that the Lord is beginning to break you open? Glory be to God. He is beginning to break us somewhere or the other. Then we should relax. We should kick back as we are in the Master's hand. If Jesus breaks us, we are assured there's going to be a great blessing that is going to come to many people that are going to come and take refuge under the branches of the tree. And you will be beautiful and fruitful, and you will bless many. What a great privilege that God is giving you today. Today many don't understand this truth and this fact what God is speaking. Look at Abraham. Abraham was called the father of faith. To become the father of faith, or to become the father of faith, to become the father of all these believers, to become the father of every one of us today. What hard work he has gone through. He was broken. If God is testing you today, is God breaking you today? Believe, the more you're broken, the greater blessing you're going to be. The more you're going to be broken, the greater and greater blessing you're going to be, because that's a call of God in your life. If you look into 2 Corinthians, the Paul says in 2 Corinthians, let's read to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 to 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 to 17. For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man we perish. Yet inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Glory be to God. What a great verse is that. Look at what Paul is saying there. Oh my, hallelujah. What a great privilege. The habit, the afflictions which sometimes must come upon us, because Jesus is not finished with us. Amen. When people see you, or see your imperfection, we should not be ashamed. We should not be ashamed to tell them, don't worry, Jesus has not finished his work with me. I'm still in the work of the Master. Hallelujah. He's working on me. Paul is saying, the affliction which is for a moment is working so that I can be brave. I can break the outward man. Because there is a struggle going on today between the outward man and the inward man. Some people are concerned about the war in Iraq. You know, many are telling, oh, look at the war in Iraq. What is happening in Iraq? Look at Iran. Iran is having nuclear weapons. That's what people are saying. Many are worried about the nuclear weapons of Iran. And many are worried about North Korea. Many are worried about these wars. They're concerned about what is happening around. Glory be to God. That is not the real war, my friend. That is not the real war you and I should be afraid of, or you and I should be concerned of. You and I should be concerned of the war that you and I should be occupied with, the war this is raising between your outer man and your inner man. You and I should be concerned between the war that is raising between your inner man and your outer man. The Lord is raising you up. The Lord wants to break you to realize where you're standing today. The Lord wants to break you to realize what you're going through today. Let Jesus let the forces of nature split you open. Let the outer man, so that the inner man will be bursting out, my friend. So that the inner man will be bursting out, and you will be a blessing. Brothers and sisters, once again, understand the mystery of the seed. It is so appropriate to the mystery of the cross. If you understand the mystery of this corn seed, it is so appropriate to the mystery of the cross. What a great privilege. I want to read to you from the book of Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. You have seen the seed now. Now we're going to see the cross. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. This is what the Bible says. Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. You see, this is what Jesus is telling. If any man wants to follow me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. Glory be to God. You see the little boy that voluntarily gave Jesus the bread. If any man wants to follow Jesus, must voluntarily take upon him the cross. Friends, we all know the predestination. God did not create you and me like toys. He did not make you and me like robots that you cannot move or you cannot do anything. He gave you his free will. Christ has set you free. That's what the Bible says. And if you have the truth of Christ in your life, you'll be more free, completely delivered. That's what Galatians chapter 5 says. And you will be completely delivered in the Lord. What a great privilege is that. Hallelujah. So we need to understand we are not made as toys. So you and I have to voluntarily choose what we're going to choose today. You and I have to voluntarily choose what we're going to take today. So we have to voluntarily take up the cross. Let me tell you a little moment about the cross. You see, there is nothing good associated with the cross, you know. It is a curse. It is an instrument of shame. It's an instrument of torment. It's an instrument of torture. Just a tree. You know, we all know the secret. One tree, just as one tree that kicked out us, kicked out our forefathers from the Garden of Eden. We all know there's a tree that kicked out our forefathers from the Garden of Eden. So is this tree. Hallelujah. So what is this tree this God is talking about? Just as a tree that kicked us, our forefathers, Adam and Eve, out of the Garden of Eden, so true the Lord is bringing us back to heaven, to himself, through another tree. And that is the cross. This is what the cross is. This is the cross. This is the tree. One tree, oh, put you away. But through one tree, Jesus opened a way to heaven. Amen. Praise Jesus. Our defeats become victory in the name of Jesus. Oh, the tree which kicked Adam and Eve was a tree. That Jesus went back upon a tree. The Bible says, cursed is he that hangs upon a tree. Oh, glory be to God. Oh, kicked us. But now we are back. We are back. Now Jesus has hung on the cross and brought with this tree, he has brought us back. He has brought us back to a place where we will be in his place, where we will be staying with the Lord. What a great privilege. This tree has brought us back. This tree has opened a way that you and I shall carry on. You know, look at what Satan told Jesus. Oh, Jesus, son of David, Son of God, you have come to overcome the world. If you want to overcome the world, why do you need to struggle in the world? Satan did not want Jesus to take up the cross. Satan wanted Jesus to take up the easy way. Satan wanted to take Jesus the easy routes. He said, if you fall down on my feet and worship me, I will give you anything you want. If you fall down on my feet and worship me, I will give you anything in the world. Look at everything, babe. Everything belongs to me. That's what Satan said. Now, Satan is trying to tell you that way. And Satan does not like you to be an overcomer. Satan does not like you to take up the cross. Satan is trying to prevent you. Satan is trying to bind you. Satan is trying to move you away. Satan is covering. The spirit of the world is making blindness to your eyes and my eyes that you cannot see the truth. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Jesus opened a way to heaven. Amen. Praise God. Jesus, in Jesus our defeats become victory, friends. Jesus went back upon the tree. The Bible says, cursed is he that hangs upon a tree. Glory be to God. Kicked us out of the garden. That one tree kicked us out of the Garden of Eden. But this tree Jesus hung upon so that you can have access back to heaven. To this, we must overcome the defeats and triumphs over us by following the example of Jesus through his help. Brothers and sisters, on the cross, glory to God, the body of Jesus was broken. And his spirit, which is the spirit of the Father himself, was released. He cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. You see, unless and until the body of Jesus, which was a veil, separates us from the Shekinah glory of God, was torn apart, else we wouldn't have hope to see the reconciliation. We wouldn't be reconciled to God with the Father. We wouldn't be having hope to receive the Holy Spirit, which could not come until the glorification of Christ. According to the Bible, the scripture portions clearly say in John chapter 7 and verse 39. If you read John chapter 7 and verse 39, this is what the Bible says. But this spake he, the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. That's what the Bible says in John 7:39. Glory be to God. What am I talking about by the cross? Brothers and sisters, it's a mystery of the cross is the same mystery of the seed. It's same as the mystery of the seed. Unless and until Jesus was broken on the cross, we would not know salvation today. We would be reminded you that Jesus knew that he was going to be on the cross. Jesus knew that his body was going to be mutilated and his body was going to be completely broken for you and for me. And this is a mystery of the gospel too. Unless and until there is a breaking, there will not be a blessing. Unless and until there will be a breaking, there will not be a blessing. So what does the cross mean today? It means suffering. It means shame. It means mocking. It means rejection. It means brokenness about everything. You see, no one wants to take up this cross. But when you allow the Lord to hang you on your own cross, then you will be resurrected with new power. When you allow Lord Jesus Christ to take you and put you on your own cross, when you go into the Master's hands and tell, Lord, crucify me, when you allow the Master to put you to your own cross, hang you to your own cross, you will resurrect with new power. You will resurrect with new strength. Brothers and sisters, Jesus said, you need to pick up the cross and follow him. In other words, we should expect in some moment or the other, in our walk of faith with Christ, we will also be broken. We will also be like Christ. We will also be shouting one day on the cross. Some of us have gone through trials and sufferings and lots of afflictions. You want to shout, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. God has somehow forsaken you. You're feeling that. Like Job was crying out, Job was telling. Oh, he didn't know what was happening. But what is going on today? You do not be afraid of being broken. Job was crying out. He did not know what was happening. But you do not be afraid of being broken, because God is going to use you to be a greater blessing. You see, Jesus died on the cross. The first thing happened was in the nearby temple, the veil was torn apart and the people could see directly the Holy of Holies, the most Holy of Holies. Till then, in the tabernacle, every time you want to pray, every time you want to speak, you have to go and tell into the priest here, and all the tribes of Israel, all the 12 tribes have to stand there or see what's going to happen and what is the reply that's going to come from God. But Jesus came into this world, the veil was completely torn. You are directed into the most Holy of Holies. What a great privilege is that? What a great joy is that? What a great joy is that the Lord has given you, that you can access into the Holy of Holies. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. God is giving you that privilege. Glory be to God. That has reconciled you to the Father. The Holy Ghost came and you got repentance and you were able to repent before God. Oh, thank the Lord for the cross. Oh, thank the Lord for the cross. Glory to God. Your sins and my sins are forgiven by that one tearing. You got everything that you require in order to inherit the kingdom of God. It is at your hand, my friend. It is in your hands, my friend, today. Amen. Do not be afraid to take upon the shame of the cross. Do not be afraid for the people to spit on your face. You sometimes don't apologize for the cross. Do not grow weary. We are called to be broken on the cross so that our lives will be comforted. Oh, you see, Apostle Paul carried his own cross. Apostle Paul knew what it meant to suffer for the gospel. Apostle Paul was saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Oh, Apostle Paul was saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. That's what Apostle Paul was saying. What a great privilege. Let us read from the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 to 30. The book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, 23 to 30. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as fool. I am more in laborers, more in abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths more often, in the Jews 5 times received, 40 stripes saved one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, thrice I suffered the shipwreck, and night and day I have been in deep. In the journey of often perils of robbers, perils of my own countrymen, perils of the heathen, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils among false brothers, in the weariness and painfulness, watchings often, hunger and thirst and fastings often, cold and nakedness. Beside those things are without that which come upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak? I am not weak. Who is offended? I am not burnt. I must glory. I'm willing to glory the things which are concerned my infirmities. Glory be to God. I'm willing to glorify of the things which concern my infirmities. Brothers and sisters, it is a time to glory in our weaknesses. It is a time to glory in our brokenness, because God is pleased with that. With that only we can be a greater blessing. With that brokenness only you and I can be a greater blessing for the work of God. Amen. You see, sometimes we think we have heard sometimes clashing about Apostle Paul suffered really, but we cannot imagine what went through his life. We don't even imagine and see what it must have been to go through. He was beaten 5 times, my friend. He was given about 195 lashes. Oh, look at the pain there. Look at the agony there. Oh, 195 lashes by the Jews. He was beaten thrice with a rod, iron rods. Sometimes he said, Apostle Paul probably, so one man said, Apostle Paul probably became a handicapped. Apostle Paul became physically, sometimes it was said that he became physically deformed, suffering from some physical ailment. He was permanently being damaged because of the beatings. That is why Corinthians is a powerful word that was given to us. In Corinthians, Paul was able to deliver in the complete word that God was given him. Glory be to God. You and I are physically offended, my friend, but do not worry. You are going to be delivering a powerful word. Glory be to God. Oh, hallelujah. If there is something weak, or if there is some suffering in you today, do not worry. But let me tell you that a man has received his share of being broken. That man has received his share of being broken. Apostle Paul has received his share of being broken. He was crushed for Jesus. But today we see the blessing that was come through Apostle Paul. Today we see probably millions and billions of people have read the letters that was written by Apostle Paul and being comforted and being encouraged. Amen. What a blessing. Praise God. Amen. Do you want to be used like Apostle Paul in your life? Do you want to be used like Apostle Paul? Then you need to be broken. Then you need to be broken into pieces. Hallelujah. It is a part and a parcel of the gospel, my friend. It is a part and a parcel of the gospel that the Lord is giving you today. Glory be to God. What a great privilege it is to have the Lord. Hallelujah. What a great privilege it is to be in the house of God. What was the result of the suffering of Paul? And there's an answer again. Paul is giving an answer. What is the result of the suffering of Apostle Paul? Let's read in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, but Christ lives in me. Now the life that I live is of flesh. Now the life that I live in flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. Glory be to God. Paul, what do you gain by this suffering? Here is a question. I'm asking Paul. Apostle Paul, what do you gain by this suffering? What do you gain by being broken like this, Apostle Paul? Here is Paul replying to us in Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Blessed is a man today. Blessed is a man. Not shine fold, but so that my life inside will emanate, the Holy Ghost will emanate. Hey people, praise be to God. I'm going to speak to you about some more woundings. Don't be upset at it, because you need to be wounded today. I need to be wounded today. Make you great. That is going to make you as gold. When Job was telling, when I bathe, what a great privilege. Hallelujah. Am I going to stand to it? Am I going to stand in this burning furnace? Am I going to say, no matter what happens to me in this burning, Jesus, I'm going to speak about some more woundings. Hallelujah. And this is called the wounds of archers. Friends, again, I'm getting back, whether you're getting the point where I'm speaking. We went from Matthew and I was speaking about what happened about the bread, how the Lord broke it, and we saw the example of the seed, and we saw about the example of this about the cross, and we had the contrary, and we have to comprehend the cross and the seed. Now we are going to see, it is called the wounds of the archers. We all know the archers are the ones that hold the bow and the arrow, that hold the bow and the arrow, hallelujah, to attack. I'll read to you from the book of Genesis chapter 49 verse 22 to 26. Genesis chapter 49, 22 to 26. Glory be to God. Again, I repeat it, the book of Genesis 49, 22 to 26. We see Jacob's blessing his children. We see Jacob comes before his sons, comes forth his sons to bless them, and he had been blessing them, all the 12 patriarchs. When he comes to Joseph, this is what happens. Or when he comes to Joseph, this is what he's saying from verse 22. So he started blessing all the sons, and when he came to Joseph, this is what Jacob is saying. I'm reading it. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even the fruitful bough by as well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him, but his bow abode in strength, and in the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of mighty God of Jacob. From thence the shepherd, the stone of Jerusalem, stone of Israel, even by God of the Father, who shall help thee by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with the blessings of heaven above, with the blessings of the deep that lieth under, with the blessings of the breasts and of the womb, and with the blessings of the Father, prevail above blessings of your progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills, and they shall be the head of Joseph. Glory be to God. And this is what his blessing. All these blessings shall be on the head of Joseph, and on the crown of the head of him that will separate from his brothers. Brothers and sisters, I can imagine when Jacob went down to the line blessing his sons, and when his hands rested on Joseph, I believe that there was a lump in his throat. I believe there was a woven sorrow, because this son was loved the most among all the sons. This son Joseph was loved most among all the sons. This was his crown. This was his child that was the nearest to him, whom he gave a coat of many colors. And this little Joseph was in front of him right now. Amen. What a great privilege is that. Who was brutally being separated from the father by his brothers. We are standing before this moment, at him before this moment. And he's standing before Joseph and earning the royal clothes and the royal attire of Egypt. Now he's standing before Joseph and he's seeing Joseph. He's having a royal attire. He's wearing the attire of the Egyptians. He's looking very handsome. He was looking tall and fair. Now the father is having a burden on his throat. He's been overwhelmed by the sorrow, because this son he loved was separated. Now he got a chance to stand on before his crown and start blessing his son. What a great privilege is that. This is what is happening now. We're standing to bless. Oh, this man is looking muscular, very dignified man, dignified looking man Joseph was. He was wearing an attire of the Egypt. He was a man of great power. He was the second in the command to Pharaoh. He was the second most powerful ruler in the world, because Egypt was a greatest power during that time, my friends. Glory be to God. And when Jacob looked at his son, was standing with such a glory, with such power, representing the might of Egypt, he was overwhelmed by the sorrow, and the spirit of God came upon Jacob, and must have remissed the suffering of the most beloved and favorite son Joseph. He said, "The archers have." We clearly read in the word, the archers have shot at him, the archers have hated him, the archers have sorely grieved him. Brothers and sisters, I speak for a moment about these archers. These are excellent marksmen. You see, look the life of Joseph, and let us realize, or let us retrace some of the steps that happened. I see Joseph, broaden your imagination to understand what happened in the life of Joseph by these archers. Hallelujah. Joseph was an innocent boy. He did not know. The moment he was brutally, completely chased away, he was completely put into the pit. You know what was the reason he was brutally put into the pit? It was not his reason. He was innocent. He did not know any jealousy. But all he knew was to love. But he was being attacked brutally by his brothers just because he was loved by the father. It is not his mistake to be loved by the father. It is not his mistake that the father loved him. So because the father loved him, he was being brutally treated. So we see clearly, see the little boy with a coat of many colors going to visit his brothers. He was innocent. He did not know the jealousy that his brothers was taking, or the flesh and the blood was working on him. Oh, now we see an archer approached him. Now we are going to go into a spiritual realm. Try to understand in a spiritual realm, my friends. Now Joseph is going near his brothers. Now there are his brothers are the archers. Now we are archers taking the arrow now. The archers are now leaving the first arrow. The first arrow is the arrow of jealousy. Today you and I are blessed by God. When you and I are blessed by God and you and I are loved by God, you know what will happen? You will have the archers trying to attack you. The first archer will be the archer of jealousy. So when they saw Joseph being loved by the Lord, when they saw the father loved his brother so much, they started attacking him. So today, this archer came and tried to attack, knelt down and tried to attack Joseph. Yes, hallelujah. And makes men and went down, the marksman went down to the knee of Joseph. And speaking spiritually, hallelujah, glory be to God. What a real thing this is. The first arrow hit straight into Joseph's heart and wounded him, which was the arrow I'm talking about to you. Know as well as me, it is so cruel that his brothers took him and wanted to kill him. And it had been the Reuben and Judah told, hey, no, we are not going to kill him. Let us throw him. And they said, let us throw him into this well. After some time, Joseph was in the well. The well was so cold. So they threw him into the well. You know, they threw him into the well. Yeah. So the first archer came and hit his heart, and his heart was completely broken. He never expected that. He came wearing the costly costume, came near his brothers, thinking that his brothers would love him, thinking that his brothers would embrace him, thinking his brothers would take him aside and tell him, brother, you're so good, thank you for coming from the Father. He was thinking like that. He never knew what the flesh that was working, what a horrible, just think about it, what was in the heart. I can never imagine the human heart thinking so badly, trying to kill and plot against his own brother, just because he's being loved by his father, just because he's being loved by his father. So they knelt down. And they took the arrow and they bet him. It pierced through the heart. It was cruel jealousy of brothers. Took him and wanted to kill him. What a great sadness. But they said, throw him into this. And thereafter, sometime Joseph was in the well. You know what happened in this deep, deep pit? The deep pit was cold. It was dark. There was no hope of seeing tomorrow in the deep pit. He had no hope of seeing the daytime. What did he do to deserve this? He did not do anything. He did nothing. He was an innocent boy. His only mistake was to be loved by the father. More than others, he suffered because his father set affection upon him. Today, sometime, some of you are suffering because the father has set his affection upon you. So some of you are feeling jealous of you, you know, because you know why? You're blessed than others. Your God is blessing you more than others because you're being a blessing. They won't be able to tolerate. The arrows of jealousy are trying to come and attack you. Glory be to God. So the archer had put a first archer and left a first arrow, and that came and directly hit the heart, which he does not expect. How he didn't expect his own brothers would do. Hallelujah. So the first archer went down on the knees and take and shot, and feeling the pain sometimes. You're feeling the pain sometimes. Oh, let it be, because God has allowed that arrow to come and hit off. Receive with the joy. Jacob said to him, take, the archers have sorely grieved him. Hallelujah. Do not be afraid. The archers have hated him. Do not be feeling bad about it. Glory be to God. He never felt bad about it. He received it. He received it with joy. Feel jealous about me. No problem. Wait a minute. He was wounded because God had a greater destiny. He allowed that arrow to come and pierce through his heart because God has a greater destiny. People that are having a greater destiny from God will have greater waiting before the Lord. People that have a greater destiny will always bear anything and everything that comes on their way when an archer tries to attack them. Glory be to God. But many arrows have to pierce him on the way to glory to Egypt. Many arrows came to pierce him. Hallelujah. Do not want to become the second command. If you really want to become the commander after Pharaoh, if you want to become the commander of Egypt, if you want to be a king, if you want to be a leader, if you want to be a real ruler, glory be to God. Friends, you need to understand, the pit could not hold the inheritance of Joseph. The prison could not hold the inheritance of Joseph. Nothing can ever hold the inheritance that God promised in his word to Joseph. When one, two things God spoke to Joseph. One, he said you will become a king. Another one, he said you will become a wife. Did God speak to you something today? Did God release his word into your life? Did God say this is the year of breakthrough? Did God say that you shall be more than a conqueror? Did God say you will be the head and not the tail? Did God say that you will be a blessing to bless others? Did God say you will be the help you? Somebody that has been born of my friend, let the archer. God has allowed this for a reason. God has allowed this for a reason. Nothing can take God by a surprise. Nothing can surprise God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Are you filled with many arrows? Do not worry. Glory be to God. Hang on there. Receive the arrows. Thank God for the arrows. You see, after some time, another archer went down on his knee, took aim at Joseph, and released another arrow. God allowed him. Hit his brother. Not worry, my friend. Glory be to God. He was sold in Ishmaelite. Can you imagine that? Sometimes when we have suffered, brother and sister, we do not know what is suffering. You're eating, people are starving, people are dying, but God has made you privileged, my brother. God has made you privileged, my sister. Oh, believe that is not what you're experiencing. What you're experiencing is nothing. Glory be to God. What you're experiencing is deadly nothing, because what Joseph is experiencing today, look at that arrow. Is completely sown into a foreign land. Can you ever stay in a foreign land? Can you ever go and stand somewhere there and tell, oh, I can stay here, I can survive here? You cannot. You can only survive where you're going to stay, between your four walls, between your society, between your rich society, between your posh society, between where people are there who are loving you, embracing you, and talking to you, and blessing you. You will survive there, but you cannot survive in a foreign land. Glory be to God. Glory be to Jesus. Look at this. What is suffering? When I read this, I said, Lord, how is it possible? How can there be so much hatred in the human heart that could not? How could his brothers do this to him? Oh, my heart was wounded. Lord, how can it happen? Isn't it deceitful above all things? Said Jeremiah. You know, Jeremiah said, oh, it is deceitful above all things. The heart is the most deceitful thing above all things. Glory be to God. We need Jesus desperately, because we live with a desperate nature that is always deceiving us. We need Jesus desperately today, my friend, because there's a desperate nature in you and me that is deceiving you and deceiving me. So you need Jesus desperately. Are you desperate about Jesus? Are you crazy about Jesus? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Are you really? Hallelujah. What a great privilege it is to have Jesus. Hallelujah. I do not trust my own self sometimes. You know, I do not trust my own self. I need Jesus to break me. Hallelujah. Here is another arrow hitting him. An arrow of Potiphar's wife. The third arrow is the arrow of Potiphar's wife. The first arrow that the archer left was the arrow of jealousy that directly went and hit Joseph's heart. The second arrow was being completely rejected and sold to Ishmaelites. And the third arrow is the arrow of Potiphar's wife. It was a temptation, you see, earlier. You might be whatever great you might be, but you need to walk according to the rules of God. So nothing was mistaken, but still he had to suffer. Glory be to God. If you want to be broken and broken like this, and he suffered again for no reason, and you see, another arrow was released, and he was put into a dungeon. Glory be to God. This Potiphar's 2 years staying in a dungeon? Oh my goodness. He was there in a dungeon for 2 years. He was broken. He was wounded by the archers. Why? Because this breaking turned out to be a blessing to him. A blessing. Oh. Joseph turned out to be even Pharaoh recognized him. Everybody in Egypt recognized him. The Spirit of the Lord was moving on him. Pharaoh was able to see the Spirit of God in Joseph. Glory be to God. After 2 years, he's released. The prison or the dungeon could not stop his blessing. Did he seek anything after he was released? You see, the moment he was released for a reason. He came out and became the ruler, second ruler. Shoulder and taller than anybody in Israel. Bible says clearly he was the most handsome man in the whole of Israel. Because you see, sometimes one might humble by nature, one might be humble by nature, but that is not the same having been broken by God. It is not what you are, it is not what God is expecting, or it is not what you were be before. Hallelujah. So it is not the humility that God requires. He was humble by nature. But you see his life completely, what is happening in his life. In his life, in the life of Joseph, in the life of Saul, he was humble by nature. So there are so many people in the society, in Indian society, there are lots of people that finish their PhDs and finish their degrees. We can see them to be humble people. But that is not the humility that God is requiring. That is not the humility that God is requiring of us. That's not the humility that God really wants of us. Hallelujah. So God is requiring a humility when you are in the master's hand. That's the reason I'm bringing a contrast. When you are in the master's hand, when you are broken by the master's hand, and when you are treated by the master's hand, that is what the humility comes. That is the real humility I'm talking about. Not the humility that comes by your nature, the humility but that comes only when you're in the hand of God, the humility that comes only when you're in the mighty arms of God, and that is the thing that is required. My dear friends today, which arrow are you doing? Which arrow are you coming across? Look at Saul. Saul died alive. We can see in the Bible, in 1 Samuel, the Bible, the scripture portions clearly tell us. Let's read from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 31 and verse 13. I'm going to come to a conclusion. 1 Samuel 31 and 13. The book of 1 Samuel 31 and 13. We see the death of Saul, how he was archered, how the arrow hit him and how he died. Because, you know, Saul took the judgment in his hands. Saul took the authority in his hands. He was never led by the Spirit of God. Today we need to see whether we are led by the Spirit of God in all this. Joseph was literally led by the Spirit of God. That is the reason we never see retaliation in his life. That is the reason we never see frustration in his life. That is the reason we never see Joseph just raising up and fighting against the people in his life. So we see there, they took... Yes, hallelujah. 2 Samuel, I think. 2 Samuel 31 and 13. Just let me see. Yes. Yeah. It's 1 Samuel. Is it 1 Samuel 31 and 13? Yes. Chapter 31 and verse 3. Chapter 31 and verse 3. I'm sorry. 1 Samuel chapter 31 and verse 3. I'm sorry. Yes. Hallelujah. There's a verse. There's a beautiful verse. So, when Philistines came against Israel, this is what happened. God anointed this man and wanted this man and wanted to use this man, but he did not allow to go into the master's hand and to be broken. He took the judgment in his own hands, and the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and the sore wounded of the archers. He became the sore wounded of the archers. What a great blessing that is. Hallelujah. Look at him. When you don't allow the master to break you, this is what would happen. The knife that you catch or the sword that you catch will kill you. Glory be to God. The judgment that you take is going to kill you. That's what we need to understand. Glory be to God. So the three archers hit Joseph. The three times he was able to bear that. The three times he allowed God to break. But the same thing happened in the life of Saul. But Saul did not. The first archer itself. The first time itself he fell down. Glory be to God. So we need to understand. What a great privilege is that. Friends, today God wants to break us. God wants to break us, and God wants to allow the master to chasten you when arrows come down to you, when you're put down, when people despise you, when people reject you for no sake. Don't worry. Stand up for God. This is the time that God wants you. When you are broken, you will be surely be a blessing. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. May God bless you all. May this word plant and bring forth fruit. May you all be strengthened. May you all be wounded for the Lord's sake. Glory be to God. And I would also like to tell you all, please do pray for us and uphold the ministry in India, in your prayers, please. And also please pray. And God has been using the Full Gospel Assembly to be a blessing for the relief. The first time when we had floods, and the second time we are having floods. God's been using this team as a great blessing, and we are so happy about it. And also, please do pray. Just now, I have to again leave right now to go back and preach in a whole night prayer, to share the word of God in a whole night prayer. I'm just going to leave now, and thanks for your kind patience in listening to the word of God. May God bless you all, lift you all, and raise you all according to His purpose and plan. I'm just going to play a song for you all, and I'm going to handle the mic to the deeper life. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We praise you. We honor you, Master. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thanks a lot for this wonderful session. I give the mic, I hand over the mic. Please do pray for me. I'm leaving now to be in the whole night prayer. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you, all of you. Thank you, Sister Daphne. Thank you for posting the scriptures. It's a great privilege to have you. You're such a blessing. Thank you to the ministry and the saints in the UK for giving me this opportunity to be amidst you all and share the little words that the Lord put in my heart. And it's a great blessing to be you all and to minister to you all. Please do pray for us. Thank you, everybody. Thanks you one and again. And thank you, Pastor Joe, the pastor of the Faith Assembly. Thank you, Sister Caroline. And thank you, everyone that belongs to the United States and all the saints in the room, especially came accepting the invitation. And it's a great blessing to have all of you. It's a great privilege. Thank you, each and everyone. Thank you.